Welcome to Faith. My name is Mike, one of the pastors on staff here with Dennis and some others. Great to have you here with us this weekend as we are launching a brand new series called Rethink Money. Who's excited? See, that's what I thought. All right, so here's the deal. That's not a shocker. In fact, it'd be kind of naive of me to stand up here and go, hey, we're going to talk about money for the next 6 weeks and not expect for there to be some resistance on the part of the people who are sitting in the seats. In fact, I've been doing this long enough to know that when you say things like money at church, people get nervous. They're like, where's my wallet? One of those greeters lifted on the way in, you know, who's going to try and get their fingers in my wallet before the service is done? Or if we say money at church, people get suspicious. And they're going, okay, what do they want from me? You know, is the pastor trying to increase the bottom line of the church so as to increase their bottom line? You know, what's going on here? And so I get that. And I'm not mad at you for it. I get this is how it works. And so because we're talking about money today in the next 5 weeks, because we're launching this series on money today, we're going to do things a little bit differently today. We're going to just kind of work our way through three ideas. And with the goal of trying to alleviate some of those fears, to try and address some of those concerns. What we're going to do is we're just going to spend some time talking about why we're talking about money in church, and we're going to spend some time what it is that we're talking about, and we're going to spend some time just going over why everybody should fully participate. And my hope is that by the time we get done, not only do we alleviate some of those fears and some of those suspicions, but that you're going to go, you know, maybe this would be a good idea. Maybe they haven't lost their minds there at Faith Covenant Church. So let's take a minute and pray, and then we'll jump right into the why here. Father, thank you just for an opportunity to worship today, just to be with each other and to try and focus our hearts on you. Father, just as we have a minute to talk to you here, we just want to lift up some of the concerns just connected directly to our church. Father, thank you that we get to partner with missionaries like Fabio and Jana, and the work that they are doing in France as they are reaching out to refugees and to people who are displaced and who are far from home. We want to pray specifically for Jana as she is recovering from surgery, from a hernia, and as they and their family are in Brazil. We just pray for your hand of mercy and healing on her, and that they'd be able to get healthy and back to work and ministry again as quickly as possible. Father, we want to pray specifically for Maria Todd and for her mom. Just as her mom is on a ventilator and there are significant health concerns, we just pray for Sandy and your hand of mercy on her life and for wisdom for Maria and her siblings as she's just trying to figure out what do we do and what kind of decisions do we make. God, please just be with us as we are in this time. Pour out your spirit on us. Help us with a topic that is so relevant to our lives, but there's so much resistance to talking about. Just be open to you and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so why are we going to talk about money at church? Because again, I get people are like, wait a minute, it's church. We're supposed to talk about spiritual things. Supposed to help me with my relationship with God. We're supposed to talk about what the Bible has to say. So what are we doing talking about money at church? And I get that. And so let me just share with you a number of reasons for why we're going to talk about money at church. First one being, the Bible talks about money. We're going to talk about money at church because the Bible talks about money a lot. You may not be aware of this, but there are over 800 passages in the Bible related to the topic of money. When it comes to the Bible talks about wealth and debt and savings and earning and contentment and more. The Bible talks about money all kinds of different ways. And not only does the Bible talk about money, but Jesus talked about money. And Jesus talked about money a lot. Jesus talked about money more than he did heaven. Jesus talked about money more than he did hell. Jesus talked about money more than he did salvation. If we're following Jesus, then this should be a topic we should be thinking about because he talked about it a lot. We're going to talk about money in church because the Bible talks about money, and for us to fail to do so would be for us to fail to teach the whole will of God. Now, if you're not familiar with that term, the whole will of God, it's actually a quote from the Apostle Paul. It's something that Paul says near the end of the book of Acts, and where Paul is kind of given this speech, a farewell speech, to a church that he's pastored for a number of years. At the end of the book of Acts, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. He's been their pastor for a number of years. You want to talk about having a good pastor? You've got Paul as your pastor. I'm not Paul after all. Deal with it. But he's given his farewell speech, right? And he's talking to them because he's going to do ministry somewhere else. And here's what Paul says. Paul says to them, he says, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom of God will ever see me again. He's like, hey, God's calling me to someplace different. I don't think I'm ever going to see you guys again. In light of that, Paul says to them, therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. Why? For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Paul's saying, look, if something in your life is out of kilter, Ephesians, if you go and you blow up something in your relationship with God or in your life in general, Ephesians, that's not on me. That's on you. Because I did everything I could. I taught you everything I knew to teach you about God and about life. I didn't hold back on you because it was uncomfortable or because it was unpopular. If I had, then the blood's on my head. But I didn't. So if you blow it up, that's on you. See, we're going to talk about money in church, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's not popular. Because to fail to do so would be to fail to teach the whole will of God. And I won't do that to you, and I won't do that to me. I got enough to be getting in trouble for. I don't need to hold back and get into trouble for that. So we're gonna talk about money in church because the Bible talks about money. We're also, though, going to talk about money in church because money is a spiritual issue. Money is a spiritual issue. Jesus alludes to this when he said this. Jesus said, Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, one of the things that Jesus is communicating to us here is that money tells a story about us. Money reveals things like what we believe to be most important. It reveals what we're willing to work and sacrifice for, what we think is really going to last. According to Jesus, money, he says, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Money is connected to our hearts. And I would contend that things of the heart are spiritual in nature. But then Jesus nails it down even more in what he says next. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, just think about that. Of all the things Jesus could have said are going to get between you and a relationship with God, things like sex or power or entertainment or control or energy, I mean, just all these things that could vie for first place in your life. Jesus points to money. He says, look out. If something's going to derail your life spiritually, money's the one you got to watch for. You can't serve God and serve money. See, according to Jesus, money is a spiritual issue. And so we're going to talk about it at church. Not only so, but we're going to talk about money at church because our culture talks to us a lot about money. And I would contend that what it's teaching us isn't working. There's a message we get about money from our culture, and it kind of builds, and it goes like this. In our culture today, we're told that money and stuff, that's what's going to satisfy. You get more money, you get more stuff, that's then you're going to be happy. And when it comes to money and stuff, you deserve more. You deserve it. You've got it coming. And not only do you deserve it, but you deserve it now. You shouldn't have to wait. And you don't even have to be able to pay for it to deserve it. You don't have to pay for it to afford it. You just have to be able to make the payments. And the smart and savvy consumer, they don't pay for something outright. They charge it. Because you're going to build your credit. If somebody will loan you the money, the responsible thing to do is to borrow the money. Now, lest you think I'm exaggerating, I've got some homework for you. I want you to go home this week, plop yourself down in front of a television and watch for 2 hours. How often would a preacher tell you to watch 2 hours of TV, right? That alone should be worth sitting through this message, right? Like today, there's going to be good football on today. Oh, this is the most wonderful time of the year, all right? I'm just saying. All right? And like last night, the evil empire lost, right? Uh-huh. You know, Emperor Belichick down, defeated, right? Uh-huh. Some of you out there, I warned you, Eric, all right? I told you it was coming, all right? So, but I mean, you can go home, you're going to sit down in front of a television, you're going to watch football, and if your spouse complains, you can be like, honey, I don't want to watch this. I'm just doing my homework for church. It's for Jesus, all right? Sit down and watch TV and just pay attention to the commercials. What they're telling you about what money will do and what you deserve when it comes to stuff and when you can have it and how you should get it. Just give you one example of what I'm talking about in this commercial here. Watch.
Five. A new Buick?
To James from James.
Hey, is this a new Buick? I secret Santa'd myself.
I shouldn't have. I have been very good this year.
I love it. I love it.
Don't forget you this holiday season.
Right? Don't forget you this holiday season. Y'all went out and bought a new SUV for yourselves, right? You were good this year. You deserve it. And don't worry, 72 easy monthly payments. You're going to have those payments longer than you have some of your kids, right? This is the message we're being told. And the trouble is, it doesn't work. Like, what we're promised and what we get are two very different things. For example, according to Gallup, 37% of Americans could afford an unexpected $1,000 bill without having to borrow money. What that means is better than 6 out of 10 of us. If we had a bill come across our desk for $1,000, we couldn't pay it without borrowing money. And yes, if you charge it, that's borrowing money. That's not your money on that card, right? Or the average American household carries about $16,000 in credit card debt. More than half of us don't pay those credit cards down to zero every month. 63% of people who filed for bankruptcy said credit card debt was the reason why. Or every year, $29.5 billion is paid to the banks in overdraft fees. We live beyond our means, and then they penalize us for it. Just think about what nearly $30 billion could do for good. And the banks, they don't mind. They're counting on it. 1/3 of an average bank's revenue is from overdraft fees. They are counting on us living beyond our means. And it's crazy stuff. Think about this. Less than $1,000 in savings, $16,000 in credit card debt. We have what they call in Texas, big hat, no cattle syndrome. Want to look like we got a lot going on, but when it comes to real resources, we don't. This isn't working financially. And it's not working relationally or emotionally either. Number one cause for divorce in North America is fights about money. 52% of marriages in our country today end in divorce, and the number one reason they point to is money. And if your marriage ends in the first 7 years, 90% of them will say money was the issue. See, this impacts our relationships. It impacts just on such an emotional level. Most of the men in this room, for them, money is a scorecard for how they're doing at life. And when a man feels like, hey, I can't pay the bills, I can't get things done, I can't meet my family's needs financially, that man will feel like he is unworthy of his family's love and acceptance. Those stats that we just had on the screen, they don't help with that. And for women, this is a deep emotional thing as well. Dave Ramsey did research. He points out that women have what is called a security gene. It's, they have this need, it's just inherent, to know that the bills are going to be paid and there's some plan for that to get done and we're not going to melt down financially. And when your wife's security gland, when that is going off, you know it's going off, man, because it's attached to her face. When it's going off, she looks like this. Right? And women, you don't want to look like that. And men, you don't want to be married to a woman that looks like that. And don't say amen if your spouse is in here with you. Just say, I don't know what he's talking about, honey, right? See, but what our culture's sharing with us about money, it doesn't work. We need to rethink this. So, one last reason. We're going to talk about money in church because of what's at stake. Let me share with you a story about two churches. First church is a little church in southwest Detroit. It's called Messiah Church. And it's a church that I grew up at. Interesting thing, and I don't know exactly why it worked this way, but at Messiah, prior to Bob Hoy becoming the lead pastor there, money on Sunday was a taboo topic. In fact, prior to Bob, the two pastors prior to Bob, tenure of about 30 years, not once did either one of those men talk about money on a Sunday morning at church. Better than 3 decades, not one sermon on money. You did not talk about it. Now, this guy named Alex Rahill, who's now the director of church planting for our denomination, and myself, we were both products of Messiah. And so when Alex planted this church called Life Church, and then I was part of the core team for that church, and then I was the first person they hired on staff after Alex. Because we were both products of Messiah, we brought that mentality with us to Life Church. So Life Church was planted in 2002, and it wasn't until 2007 that a sermon was preached on money at Life Church. For better than 5 years, not one sermon on money. And I can tell you why. It's because we were afraid. We were afraid to go where it was uncomfortable. We were afraid to go where it was unpopular. And we'd come out of a culture, and I don't know why it was at Messiah, but we had come out of a culture where it was taboo to talk about that on Sundays. And so we failed to teach the whole will of God. And not only did we not disciple people well on Sunday mornings, but we did not disciple people the way that we should have outside of Sunday morning when it came to money. And so as a result, I watched that impact both the church as a whole and the individuals who attended that church. See, as somebody who was part of Life Church from 2002 when it was planted till 2018 when I came here, I got to see the underbelly of the beast. And I can tell you, Life Church, when I was there, consistently the church struggled with finances because we were living paycheck to paycheck. Like, when I came to faith, the attendance at Life Church was about 4 times the attendance at Faith. And yet the budget at Life Church was only 2 times the budget at Faith. That dynamic impacted that church. The church regularly struggled to live into the ministry that Jesus was calling that church to live into because money was always an issue. Not only so, but it impacted the individuals who were part of that church. Because when you're not taught differently, you do money the way that the teaching is coming. You know, if your culture is the only one teaching you how to do money and the church isn't, you do money your culture's way. And you know what happens when you do money your culture's way? You wind up broke. And here's the thing. Broke people, it's hard for them to feed the hungry. Broke people, hard for them to clothe the exposed. When I'm living paycheck to paycheck, it's hard to take a week off church and go on a mission trip. When I'm up to my eyeballs in debt, it's hard for me to even think about leaving a vocational job and take on a ministry job. God can be calling me to do all of those things, but the money won't let me. So we're going to talk about money in church because what's at stake? Because what our culture is saying, it doesn't work. Because money is spiritual in nature. Because the Bible talks about money. We're going to talk about money in church not because of what we want from you, but because of what we want for you. So that's the first part of the discussion. Why are we talking about money in church? And some of you are looking at your watches and you're going, that point was really long. And there's like two more points. And the football starts at one. What's going on here? Relax, all right? I'm commit. Football is proof that God loves you and wants you to be happy. And so the second two points, all right, they're going to be shorter. It's all right. It's okay. All right. So that's why we're talking about money in church. Let's talk next about what we're going to talk about. To which some of you go, well, we're going to talk about money, duh. All right? Let me be more specific. Because I say, we're going to talk about money at church, and some of you are like, oh my goodness, the next five sermons are going to be about giving. I should have snuck out of here when they were praying and everybody's eyes were closed, and you're looking at your calendar, and you're like, when is it safe to come back to church again, all right? So let me alleviate that fear. We're going to talk about money at church, but again, the Bible, when it talks about money, it talks about so much more than just generosity. To just talk about giving would be to fail to teach the whole will of God. And so over the course of the series, we're going to talk about things like debt and how you get in and how you get out. And we're going to talk about budgeting and what do we do to make the money behave. And we're going to talk about contentment and what it really means to have enough. And we're going to talk about initiative and on whose shoulders the weight of responsibility for our finances rests. And yeah, we'll talk about generosity, we'll talk about giving, but that's just one piece of the puzzle. And as we have these conversations, my goal is that we're going to have some fun, all right? Because I get it. Talking about money, that's not the most sexy topic. It's not the most engaging topic. It's not the most fun topic. So we're going to pull out some of the stops. We're going to do something crazy just about every week, and we're going to have some fun with this to keep people engaged. And ultimately, though, we're going to put tools into your hands that are designed to help you rethink money and do this in a way that works. We want it to be applicable. And because we want it to be applicable, we're gonna start the conversation on Sunday, and then we're going to continue the conversation in our small groups throughout the week. And so we've got small group curriculum that goes along with what we're talking about. It's done by Crown Financial. And here's the deal. If you haven't signed up for a small group for this yet, please, please, please do so. When you walk, we have waited a week to start the small groups. They're not going to start till next week because we wanted to make sure everybody had time with all the holidays and everything else. We want to make sure everybody had time to get signed up and to participate in this. So when we're done with church today, walk out the doors, take a right to the fellowship hall, just follow the smell of the cookies, all right, and get signed up for a group, which leads us to the last thing we're going to talk about. Why we want you to sign up for a small group. See, here's the deal. When it comes to change in this area of our lives, change is about 80% behavior and about 20% head knowledge. If we are really going to change the outcomes when it comes to finances in our lives, it's about 80% of what we're doing and about 20% of what we're knowing. Now, on Sundays, we're gonna talk about the head knowledge stuff. But I've been doing this long enough to know, if you don't get beyond rows and get into some circles with other people, the behavior is far less likely to change. One of the greatest things that will motivate change in your life is to sit down with other people, to be honest with them about where you're at and about where you need to be and your plan to get there, and then give that person permission to speak into your life about that. See, I can come on a Sunday, and I can know all the stuff. I mean, oh yeah, that's right, that's the way debt works, and oh yeah, yeah, savings, that's so good, and yep, budgeting, that makes all the sense in the world. But if it's just me, when I go home, I'm going to do what's easy to do. I'm going to do what gratifies in the moment. It's hard when I'm doing this alone to make the difficult decisions. But when I get into a group with other people and I'm sharing life with them, and I'm honest, hey, this is what's going on in my world and this is what I need to do, and you have permission to ask me about it, that's a game changer. The writer of Proverbs says it this way. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need somebody else in our lives rubbing up against us, creating some friction, sharpening us, pushing us to do what we know to do and we know we should do, but we haven't done all on our own yet. See, here's the bottom line. I pull at a different rate when I'm pulling with others than I do when I'm just pulling by myself. I pull way harder, way stronger when I am pulling with others than I do when I'm just pulling alone. Zig Ziglar uses Belgian horses to make this illustration. Belgian horse is a big old horse. They make Clydesdales look like these little shaggy ponies. They're just these massive things, right? Now, they do competitions with these goofy things, and they put these sleighs behind them, and then they put weight on there, and they have these things pull. Now, one Belgian horse pulling by itself will pull 8,000 pounds. They can move some weight, right? Now, they will sometimes do it with one. The other times, they'll do it with two, and they'll put two horses together, and they'll let them pull. Now, if one can pull eight, what is two going to pull? You want to say 16, you'd think that's right, but you would be wrong. I set you up, that's all right. So I'm not Paul after all. So one will pull eight, two horses, never worked together, never trained together, never laid eyeballs on each other. You put two together and you let them pull, they will pull 24,000 pounds. Simply because they are pulling together, they will pull three times what one will pull alone. Now, you give those horses some training. You teach them to pull in tandem. You teach them how to work together. They will pull 32,000 pounds, four times what one horse will pull alone. Now, everybody buckle in, because this is a point in the message where I'm going to offend everybody in this room. And don't worry, I'm an equal opportunity offender, so I'm going to offend the person next to you as well as you. All right? So here's the deal. If you could have pulled out of your financial mess all by yourself, you would have already. The fact that the mess is still there means you need to pull with somebody else. If you have room to grow in this area of your life and you're not signed up for a group yet, what are you doing? Quit pulling alone. Walk out those doors, take a right, and get signed up. Pull with somebody else. And here's the deal. If you have a group that's been meeting since September, you've been pulling together already. You've got a distinct advantage. You're going to pull even harder now that you've been pulling together. Now, some of us, we hear this and we go, okay, yeah, if you got room in that area, you need to pull, you tell them, Pastor. But I don't have room to grow. Like, I got this. Some of you are out there and you're doing really well with regards to finances. You go, well, I don't need to sign up for a group. And on one hand, I would agree. You don't need to sign up for a group for you. But you need to sign up for a group for others. If you are doing well financially, There are people in this room who need you. They need you in their group. They need your wisdom. They need your knowledge. They need your experience. They need you to pull with them as the trained horse. They need you to sharpen them. See, buckle in, this crazy idea. What if this series and the small group material isn't about you and your personal gratification? Hang in, we're not done yet. What if church and the small groups are about you serving others? What if you being part of a group isn't about you getting what you want for you? It's about you providing somebody else what they need. What if Jesus was right? That when we seek to save our lives, we lose it. And when we'll lose our lives, that's where we really find it. And what if that applied to how we did church and small group for this series? So you can have it all together financially. I would encourage you, walk out those doors, take a right, and sign up for a group. And if you're one of those people who does have it together, let your group leader know. So that when they have somebody in their group who's like, I have no idea how to figure out my expenses. I have no idea how to put together a budget. I have no idea how to get after this debt. They can connect you with that person so you can help that person pull. So yeah. We're going to talk about finances. We're going to talk about money. We're going to do it right here at church. Next 5 weeks, all on that topic. And we're not doing so because we want something from you. We're doing so because we want something for you. We're doing so because we're sick and tired of normal. Normal in our culture means I live paycheck to paycheck and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs and I don't have any kind of savings and I'm not ready for retirement. Normal in our culture is broke. I want to be normal. I want to be weird. Some of you are like, you got that, man. Whatever. Seriously, I want to be weird when it comes to money. And I want to invite you to rethink money and to do money differently, and to be weird together. Would you stand with me, church? Before we move on in our service, and we celebrate communion, and receive our offering, and close in music, I want to pray as we get this series started, because here's the deal. There are few topics in our culture today that impact us and our ability to follow Jesus well, like this topic. And yet there are a few topics in our culture today that we tend to be more resistant to than this topic. And so just together as a church today, we're going to stop and we're going to invite God to be part of this with us. Ask him to do something in us and in our church. Because there's too much at stake not to. So let's pray. Father, we just pray that you would please meet us. Whether we're doing well or whether we're doing poorly in this, God, we want to invite you to be part of this series. We want to invite you into our small groups. We want to ask that you break through all the excuses, all the habits, all the fear, all the shame. And that you open our minds and our hearts to your truth for our lives in this area that is so critical to discipleship in this day and age. Help us to begin a journey, because this is not a silver bullet. Help us to begin a journey that changes us, that changes our church, that changes us as individuals. Help us to rethink money, to do this in a way that works. To be blessed because of it and be able to bless others because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.